family because we have a longtime employee. And Dick spent his entire career on the farm. He's dying today, so I took my dad over to have the last visit.
I'll reopen the meeting. Still present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek, and we have a 9:30 that, excuse me, that's incorrect. We had a 10:15, but we're starting it at 10:28, and we're continuing our discussion regarding the Canyon County payroll. And before we get started, I want on the record to be clear that some of the onerous, maybe all of the onerous to get started on this resides with this commissioner. And I, in the past, had conversations with HR. I've had conversations in the chief deputy's room. I'm concerned about being a part of an organization that is bulletproof and protects all of us. And I was concerned that I was seeing that there is an issue about double checks in the payroll method that we're doing. And this is not saying that I saw that there was wrong or that I'm worried about specific issues. I'm worried about double checks. And so I ask our COO to contact Kate and write me a proposal or her concerns. And so Kate's letter that was in the minutes of a meeting, the prior meeting, came from this commissioner. And so I'm pretty sure that our chief conferred with the other two commissioners. I don't know about that. That would be a Idaho open meeting law violation that we were attempted to be schooled on last night. And so just want to make it clear that it starts, this whole thing starts with me, and we're exploring. And so if we make a decision today or we don't make a decision today, this is a step in the process. And so we're trying to find what is the best for Canyon County and what is the position that we can be in that is the most defensible. So that said, that's the intro that this commissioner wanted to make. Do I need to add anything to that, commissioners?
Chairman, I don't think so. Just that as a unified board that looks at process and budget, to have a second set of eyes, questions, that should never be threatening. It's just the way that the process of government works, and it's a good process if it works properly.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just to clarify, on the open meeting side, I did individually speak to each commissioner, correct?
Correct.
About this, and there was support on it.
Okay. All right. So there's things that we did a communication from Greg, COO, to chief deputy and the clerk, and I'm looking at this paper, so it likely will have to be looked at by legal, but a certain portion of it is most likely now going to be a public document. So we presented those concerns in this communique on August 30th up to the clerk's office. And so there's four items that we'd like to look at this afternoon. It's already been a long day. Look at this morning, and I'm concerned also with the clerk's time and his availability. So how this goes, again, this is not a push it down your throat or get something done thing. And the clerk's already shared with us that there's a behind the scenes, a family issue that he may be called on or will not be called on. So that said, there's the safety valve that again, this doesn't have to be done today, but we're wading into it. All right, that's it. So one of the issues is issue one, and it has to do about splitting up base pay and how that's tracked. And one of the issues that this commissioner was faced with was that I have, there's a lot of specialty pay. So you have a base pay. You get X amount for the year. That's your hourly rate. And then there's specialty pays. There's more specialty pays that reside within, I'll call it the police department. It's public safety. Zach has all kinds of accounts for it, different names, but I'm kind of grinning at him. But public safety has a boatload of specialty pays, and they rely upon that for whatever, canine, or you're part of the a special team, or you're on call more than everybody else. They deserve a special pay. And then there's a few other specialty pays that reside outside of that group. I ran across a multiplicity of special pays that there was what I would call no blue sheets, or you could call to the public, there was no substantiation or documentation. And that's not pointing fingers at anybody. Over time, sometimes the documentation is lost. So that is the point that on issue one that got my concern up. The other thing, so this was in a meeting that we had with the chief deputy, and it was congenial. I mean, I don't want anybody to get any mileage that any of us are throwing rocks at each other. Literally, as a board, we're trying to explore what's the best for Canyon County. And if I had to vote or bet on where we're going to end up right now, I don't know the answer. I don't want to prejudice myself on where we're going to land. We're going to land on what is functionally best for the county, is what this commissioner wants to do. The other thing that was discussed in issue one is how we're handling the calculations of the wages. And currently we're taking that out to the fourth decimal. And there's reasons for that. And the more traditional is taking it back to just two decimal points in the calculation. So those, I'm getting into a lot of the back end of the weeds, but I'm just trying to delineate how we get to where we're at. And so we had the letter from Kate. There's differences of opinion, and that's okay, because this is what we're trying to explore. And that's issue two. On issue three, to me, represents part of the issue about double checks. If you have a department that is making these kinds of decisions and there's no one outside of that department head or elected official, there truly isn't an opportunity for double checks. And again, this is not throwing the clerk or the deputy clerk under the bus. This is how this commissioner sees it. I would rather see that there's a independent agent that can review and see what the changes were and be aware of that. To be clear for the record, there is an independent agent about the aggregate sum in a payroll period, and that would be the treasurer's office. She double checks. Yes, I agree that that's the aggregate sum of this two-week pay period that is going to be wired or authorized for ADP to do the disbursement. So that delineation needs to be clear, that there is a portion of this that has been being double checked, that I agree that that's an independent double check. But with inside of the two-week payment module, all of the detail in this commissioner's viewpoint, there isn't a double check outside of auditing. And this is some of what we're trying to explore. And in issue four, we did receive a bulleted point process of what I would call a new hire. And thank you that was from the chief deputy. And so I still see that there's quite a bit more that is being done that needs to be delineated and agreed upon about what the total process really is and how that could be independently or double checked. And so I think that we need to move on. I know that there were words about an investigation. So I don't think that needs to be done. I think I've just delineated pretty clearly that the investigation starts and stops with the chair, and that's my prerogative to look at things and to explore things. And this is into the area of a independently elected official, the clerk, and I want to honor him and his position and not overstep my bounds. But I also want to be, as a commissioner, knowing that if I have an insinuation made, that if there is a way to have double checks, we're doing it. And we will provide a way to protect both the clerk and the county on a double check system. So all of that to get to, good morning, how are we doing? It was quite the day. You've had an election since we've last met. And so I will open the floor because I made some comments about the chief deputy. Do you have problems with any of my presentation about seeing where we're at?
Up to this point, no. Not at all, Mr. Chairman.
But you reserve the right. I love it. I keep saying it. You should have been an attorney at times. Okay. So what we're talking about is the validity for HR to do the creation of the payroll. And this, I'm saying this verbally, this will have to be delineated clearly in writing exactly where, who has what responsibility. They create it. It gets reviewed by auditing. They're keeping the detail of the person, the pay rates, the specialty pay, days worked, not worked, and they're presenting that report to auditing. Auditing's checking that as a double check. It goes back. They set it up to go to our vendor that takes care of the actual payments. That's created a report. That report and the aggregate sum is checked with the treasurer, again checked with auditing before the push go button. If I have it in general terms incorrect, because I know there's a few specific nuances behind the scenes in those steps that must be done, that's what I understand that we're discussing today. Did I say that? Yes.
And where the commissioners would like to see be in the process of oversight or approval.
I agree.
On that.
Yes.
Should be added into our discussion and our document of identification of duties.
That's correct. Currently, we are in the process, and we need to be because we have to authorize the warrants for all of the expenditures, and auditing is giving that to us every 2 weeks. We don't see anything behind the scenes other than the individual checks who those are going to and the aggregate sum. Chief?
Mr. Chair, just one other thing is every salary change should be substantiated and backed up by a blue sheet or an employee change form filed with the employee's file. That way we have a history of pay increase or decrease and what the reason was there for.
Yes.
I just want to add too, because I just ask lots of questions, but one of the things that I do appreciate, since Kate has onboarded on a regular basis, she does provide quarterly information to the board, which is appropriate, on paid administrative leave, other issues that affect the budget, that is directly under the VOCC purview. So I think that, I will say it was not in place on some of that, where there were anomalies that were identified, those should be, that information should be accompanied as detail. If there's questions, I will take Commissioner Brooks' position that the board does not want to be caught in a position where we feel less than informed on decisions that, and I understand some of those are bounded, but some of that information was not passing to the board, which to me was problematic. So thank you for your part in generating those reports and by department and office. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm kind of confused. Is what you laid out what's currently happening, or what we're going, what you're, I guess, proposing us to go to?
That's what I'm proposing us to go to. What we're currently doing, all of it's within within audit, the creation, the paycheck, the double checks of whether the total sums are right or wrong or correct, and the aggregate total amount being paid is double checked by the treasurer's office. So I'm proposing that HR become the tracker of all of those individual employees and of their specialty pay, having to have the documentation for all of it, and generate a report every 2 weeks and compare what the changes are and make that available to the auditor of any and all changes from the prior 2 weeks, and the substantiation available for the auditor to agree or check with why did they do that. And then ultimately it's the clerk's office, it's the auditor that's in charge of doing the payment. We would just insert HR as part of the originating process and the tracker of the details.
Chairman?
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
And where gaps may exist, that's what I thought I heard you say. I was not a part of the discussion that happened, but where gaps might exist on blue sheets, how is that being remedied?
That's a separate part of discussion that needs to be explored, but really I don't want it to be convoluting our discussion in the general overall view. That's an issue that has to be solved.
Okay, and so in support of your position then, you're saying that check and balance would help ensure that all that accompanying detail was a part of the process?
Correct. Once we start this, there won't be a change in from last 2 weeks' payroll to this payroll without being delineated in a report that both groups double check and look that over. And so that's what I'm advocating.
Chairman, can I ask another question? I know you have thought, so tell me when you want.
Sure, go ahead.
In one of the points that Director Rice highlighted was that a function that would handle that, there was some persistence in working with our vendor, but that a function had been disabled. Has that function been enabled, or are we using it? Where are we at with that?
That's in relation to specialty pay, and we have not enabled that at this time.
Okay, thank you.
We are awaiting this decision.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I believe that function is pay codes. Is that correct?
We explored the option of using various rate codes to be able to track specialty pay, the 9 different rate codes that are available.
I thought the email from Mr. Rast in issue number 1 referenced pay codes, that pay code functionality has been disabled.
Here's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
Here's my suggestion. This is very complicated. It has to work like a sewing machine. We have to be able to present the checks. to our employees, or however the payment is received, every 2 weeks. There are a lot of nuances. The clerk and chief deputy met with the COO and myself, and we kind of waded into, and we both had questions from each other that weren't easy, clear answers. So that said, this is a process that must be done well and must be done right. My proposal would be this. Could HR and the chief deputy, the clerk, look at this and give us a potential flow chart of how this could be implemented with the double checks of HR and auditing, and come back to the board? Because this discussion on this level of the board, we're going to miss some detail because we just don't know what we don't know. All we know is we want the paychecks to be sent flawlessly. And this, what started the discussion is double checking it, having two separate entities, groups, whatever you want to name them, be in part of the process and looking over each other's shoulder. It's as simple as that. It's a lot more complicated to implement it. Very much more complicated to implement it.
And Mr. Chair, as far as the pay codes and issue number one, I'm not an ADP expert. These two are. It could be pay codes, could be pay rates. The function was the simple fact of splitting base pay and specialty pays and be able to report on that. So however that is achieved within ADP, that is in the vein between auditing and HR. So that's what it is, the concept of issue number one. Because it does make things very complicated in compensation projects when you're doing calculations on a base pay that you don't want in your calculations on a specialty pay. Just want to clarify that.
It happens typically once a year.
Mr. Chairman, the pay codes are functional. Pay codes are turned on. Pay codes are fully functional.
Okay. So again, great example. We're getting into the weeds about a process that must operate smoothly. And so I'm not wanting to make a decision or a comment about something I fully don't comprehend. You two could, these two entities could and can come back to the board with a way that you could help this board see that there are checks and balances independently of each other and it's producing a paycheck.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I guess I'm going to go back to what you initially proposed, because from what I'm sitting here reading in an email that I received from the HR director, that process has already been lined out, which makes sense to me. So that's why I asked my clarifying question, if that's what you were presenting that we should do, and that seems reasonable to me. That's the process that we should be engaging in.
Okay.
Because that would bring about, I think that would alleviate the concerns that you have encountered with dual controls.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
I'm in support of Commissioner Brooks. We have provided opportunities and to continue to punt. There have been opportunities to provide feedback in response to Director Rice's. I have seen nothing that would change my mind that the direction we're headed to land that in human resources with a dual control system where it is generated, validated. That's the direction we should go. We've had feedback from our chief operating officer who garnered information from a different county that is a process that helps ensure that integrity. I don't see a reason to continue to meet without giving clear direction.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, integrity, dual controls, super important, extremely important in everything we do financially, especially payroll. The status change forms, in my opinion, are a great example of dual control. Where on the status change form, you have an area for the auditor to sign off, review, and approve. You have a separate section for human resources to sign off and review and approve. And in the communication, there was concern that current employees' mid-year salary adjustments may not be adequately reviewed by HR and auditing. Are you aware of circumstances? Do you have examples, details, where mid-year salary adjustments have not been reviewed and signed off by both auditing and human resources?
So, yes, we do, and we wouldn't go into that discussion without going into executive session. And my hope is that the ball's in your court, but my hope is that we don't have to do that, and we could look at just going forward with the dual control.
Well, what's come to my attention is where that dual control didn't happen, where we had a status change form where the auditor's box was signed by, it appears, the human resources director. So we have a status change form for an existing county employee, received a pay raise mid-year, $27,000 pay raise, and the status change form did not come to auditing for review.
I want to go to executive session. I have head nods from both the director and the chief operating officer. I'm interested in what they have, and that conversation obviously isn't, because it concerns personnel and pay. So I'm just going to cut to the chase.
Before we ratchet it up, is this what we want to do? Or do we want to look at it generically, modulizing both of your concerns and comments, and you two come back before us with a plan? Do we want to do that, or do we want to go the next step up and go to an executive session? That's what I'm asking both of you. What say you?
Mr. Chairman, our top priority is to get our employees paid timely and accurately. And it is certainly nuanced. And I think to have those type of detailed conversations, talking about specifics, named personnel, probably needs to be an executive session.
Okay. What say you?
I would say that I am of the mindset that we can draw a line in the sand, and what happened in the past, and go forward with a new process of collaboration and working together and checking each other's work.
Are you able to entertain that or not at this point?
Certainly.
You are able to entertain that? Your two groups have to work well together.
And I believe we do at this time, and I want to continue that relationship.
Suffice it to say that this commissioner has seen documented evidence that I would just like to work out a plan, a double checks, and go forward from here. If we need to go back into the past and do the he said, she said, and go through all the documentation, I'm willing to do that. I don't see that it's profitable for our time. I would rather just agree that we've had issues from both sides, and that let's draw a line in the sand, figure out a way to do the double checks and go forward. Can we do that?
Mr. Chairman.
Are you suggesting something other than what has already been presented by the HR director?
Well, it's going to end up being a few nuances will be put into what the HR director has proposed. It's not 1,000% complete. It has to be reviewed by the auditing team to say, what about this? What about that? That part, I want it to be open, that there would be collaboration between the two groups. I am totally uncomfortable with telling both of these that we have to follow the HR's proposal. That's what I'm not comfortable with. I can, because they both submitted some documentation, and both of those documentations are valid. It's just putting it into a complete overall plan.
Well, if we're drawing a line in the sand, we're going to ignore the previous documents, then I think we should adhere to that and then just make the change.
But I'm proposing that the change needs to be negotiated between the two.
I am proposing that this board sets the policy and this board makes the change.
I'm in support of that position.
I don't think kicking it down a level to have those negotiations. I fully appreciate, because of what will come out in executive session, where you were trying to avoid that. So I like the suggestion that we just draw the line in the sand. It was, a lot of that stuff was done by people that weren't here or no longer here. So if we're going to let bygones be bygones, let's just make the switch and move forward and have HR run it from the beginning and auditing be the double check to do.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Chairman, I think there's value. I don't see the position. I understand what Commissioner Brooks is trying to accomplish with that. I do think there's value. Unless we understand the history, we might be destined to repeat the history. That is not an original thought of mine. I think it's fair to say, here's where we've been, here's where we're not going, and here's why we're moving in this direction. So that's always helpful feedback. I agree with Commissioner Brooks. This is a policy decision that belongs to the chief executive authority outlined under Idaho Code Title 31 to the Board of County Commissioners. I object to delegating authority on policy to let people that we manage negotiate and supervise that. I don't think that's a good plan, respectfully said.
That was not my proposal.
Thank you for clarifying.
Mr. Chair, I think it makes perfect sense for HR and audit to get together, agree on the facts, and if we're in agreement, we can move forward with a process. If we don't, then it's back to the drawing board and the board, but I think we ought to have the opportunity to see what we can work out.
I think that opportunity was given.
That's correct.
And what was that time frame?
Last week when we had the meeting here, Clerk.
And how much time have any of us had? For instance, we tried to set up a meeting with the COO. And
I'm not going
to
get in a pissing match here.
I'm not either. I'm just saying we haven't had very much time.
And Chairman, we have had time constraints. I'm going to say our chief operating officer has worked some of that around the clock. He's been asked to perform duties by other offices.
Commissioner,
I object.
Commissioner, I'm going to ask that you don't add fuel to this fire.
That's fine, but I'm saying your position is correct. There's been plenty of time to answer the question, to front the whatever concerns or allegations, and that's not been brought forward. And to that, I object.
Good. I hear your objection, but this is the point of order. We have two groups in front of us that are entertaining the concept of collaborating and seeing if there's common ground and coming back and advising this board. This commissioner knows enough to know that I don't have enough knowledge right now to be secure in going blindly ahead and creating policy off of that document. That said, this commissioner is aware of many nuances that was brought up to me that need to be answered, but it needs to be answered in a collaborative form of give and take, finding out what's the best avenue to go forward. because these two groups are going to have to work like a sewing machine. It's going to have to work flawless every 2 weeks. And I submit that a few days here or a few days there is nothing compared to this plan working well. And so I would like you to consider that option. I know all the things. I don't know all the things. I suspect some of the things that you're thinking that you haven't spoken, and I commend you for not bringing that out in this discussion. But at the end of the day, these two groups are going to have to work well together. And if you just dictate, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. So I'm just saying, you have two groups that are willing to try, and we can monitor that, or the COO can monitor that, because we have to be sensitive about, Kate's our direct employee, the clerk is not. So we have to be sensitive about how that would be, but it can be monitored and then brought back to us. That's my proposal. I'm just one of three.
Right. And Chairman, dictate is the wrong word, so I'm going to object to that word. I would say that direction, clear direction, that is what we are charged as the chief executive authority of this county, is to provide clear direction. Have we asked for information? We have. Have we gotten information from our director? We have. Have we gotten information from the clerk's office? Yes. But it failed to address the points, particularly some of the, and I'm going to say the offensive comments that were tossed out there, that there should be an investigation, and there's been nothing that's been brought forward on that.
Let's don't go there. Let's stay with going positive forward. And so what's here right now, as I understand it, is you're submitting that we go, and I'm going to use this as a derogatory term, that we go blindly ahead with HR's submittal, irregardless of the concern of the auditor and the clerk, or we don't. That's what's before us, or looking at the two groups, look at that, look at their concerns, and see if they can create common ground and a clear path of checks and balances, and bring that with the nuances that we don't have today back before this board, that we can say, yeah, this is the policy that we're approving with all of the steps. That's what I'm submitting to do.
But Chairman, we submitted that last week. I hear what you're saying. So if that's the direction, if we're going to punt again, then there needs to be clearly established timelines, because each office has a lot to do. So to continue to say, and that doesn't work.
That's a good concern. And can we have you gone all next week? Is that correct? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I am not in favor of this.
Okay. All right.
This is not the blind leading the blind in the decision-making process.
Okay.
This is well-qualified personnel on both departments. They can work out the specifics after the direction is given.
Okay.
In my opinion.
All right.
I agree.
Comments?
I'll just say, Mr. Chair, that I did receive the email yesterday morning around 10 o'clock to receive an email or a meeting with the clerk and the controller or Chief Deputy Wagner. But yesterday, I'm way behind in workload. I didn't see the email until 3 or 4 o'clock. At that point, it was too late. But I will say, as we had a meeting last week, and we purposely postponed that meeting this week from Tuesday to Thursday to give additional time to crunch what we talked about last week, the clerk did say he was going to respond to us in writing, if not sooner than Tuesday, on the responses of either accusations or saying that the memo was incorrect and misinformation. We have not received anything back from the clerk from that meeting. So I'd like to see that response. And I thought that's kind of what we were going to work through today based on the four issues that we're laying out.
That's a correct understanding, Chairman.
And if I may, and that's specifically why we wanted to try to shoehorn in a meeting yesterday to address that.
And I apologize. I didn't get to email.
You had what you had to do. I had an election.
So, commissioners, in 90 days, looking back at the next 7 to 10 days, why are they so vitally important to make a decision today? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
So if you can answer that, great. If you don't answer it, it's fine too. It's your position to take. But I'm just pushing back a little bit that in all things, just be sure. I hear what you're saying, and I can't disagree with it. So,
Mr. Chairman, out of respect of you and the position that you hold, if you are adamant about giving a very specific time period, I'll...
Commissioner Brooks?
I will walk away from trying to ramrod this down your throat.
So, Commissioner Brooks, I want to provide response to that. I appreciate, and that's what this board is committed to, is working together, even if there's disagreement that has to be worked out. I don't see the failure to gather information lying on this side of the board. What I would submit that if we set a date of October 1st as being the transfer of payroll from auditing to HR, that would give each department time to work those details out with a continued discussion with the board. But to continue to just not make a decision, I object. I think, Commissioner Brooks, you have a position that has merit and would be well supported. I will support your position that we should move forward and allow those details to unfold. We've been waiting. I think we've been patient. We've asked. We're not unwilling to hear. It's just that we have heard nothing. And I know we're all in that. When I spend 12 hours here and I go home, that's a good day. I'm not complaining, but I'm saying there has to be clear direction when it comes to employee payroll issues. I hear that as a consensus. We want that to be well directed in the county, and we've identified gaps that exist. They've not been refuted. I'm still in favor because I don't like being in the dark. And if that's what it takes to clearly demonstrate why we're choosing this direction that has little to no pushback, that would be substantive or change my mind, then that is the right thing to do. It is the fair thing to do.
Okay. Then, I would make the motion that we meet again on the 13th, time to be determined, and that the proposal, the plan of how it would work, be reviewed then with the goal of making this change effective with the first payroll in October.
Define it.
We need, if we are a policy board, then we darn well better approve a policy, not a concept. And so I'm submitting that we have these two groups work with each other, and they come back and report to us on the 13th if there's nuances that we're unaware of today. I don't expect any, but there could be that the board needs to be aware of in policy on making this change effective for the first pay period in October, as of the first pay period.
Chairman, is there room for discussion before there's any?
Absolutely.
I would counter that motion and want to move that the board approve transfer of payroll to our human resources with the same stipulation that the clear direction and an outline of policy Ada County is already using HR to formulate payroll successfully. And so that would be my motion. There continues to be this lack of action and lack of information that would persuade otherwise. And I do not make blind or I try not to make ignorant decisions. Do we fail? Yes, because we're humans. But this continued discussion on evaluating and looking at areas to manage change that have greater efficiencies for taxpayer dollars appears to be of significant concern for everyone in the room. And I believe that there is room there's good reasons for the board to look at change. So that would be my counter motion, is that we authorize the change of the handling of payroll to human resources and that they work together, and on the 13th they bring that back and with a goal of implementing that change October 1st.
Seems to me you're in the driver's seat, Commissioner Brooks.
Well, I'm not a parliamentarian, but I'm pretty sure we can't have two motions on the board without a second. So,
well, Mike, you're by saying that, you can declare that the my motion dies for lack of a second, or have, that's why.
No, I want to clarify yours. So is your motion predicated on the direction is being given that payroll is being transferred from auditing to HR, and by the 13th we are coming back to see a policy,
nuances of how that works,
that is going to look like, because that's essentially what you're saying. Change is made, but you make a good point in not making a change without a policy of what that's going to look like.
Right.
So if your motion, and you're probably going to need to clarify it since I've muddied it, is making the change or giving the direction to build a policy with that change in mind,
yes,
then I would be in support of that.
Yes.
And Chairman, I appreciate Commissioner Brooks' clarification. So the motion is to give direction to move payroll to HR and develop policy so that on September 13th, there is an action item to direct that change to happen October 1st.
Correct. They will work together and bring back the nuances, and we will actually have a policy that's delineating out the areas of responsibility and how it will flow.
Chairman, we have the chief deputy for the prosecutor's office. I think we should ask, where we're developing policy, will that require a review by their staff, and can they meet that review deadline?
We can review it. I don't know that it's necessary. We've been talking about policy here, but I think really you're talking more about procedure than policy.
Okay.
And we don't need to review procedure. We don't know anything about ADP and how it works and how the functioning of going back and forth with getting the payroll reviewed. So we can certainly look at it, add our two bits to it if you would care, but we don't know anything more. And you know, legally, they can just work out the procedures for how this is all going to work and take care of some of the nuances.
Thank you, Carl. And so, Chairman, then I would submit that there is not a reason that the direction should be given. Thank you for the clarification between and the difference between policy and procedure. The direction that I can support is that we move payroll from auditing to HR in the interest of checks and balances and dual control, and that a clear procedure is brought back on the 13th. So that the action item states this change will be effective October 1st.
So you have two motions on the floor. Can you differentiate between the two? Because one of them is going to die for a lack of second. They're very close. hardly any nuances.
Basically, what you're saying is you don't want to go with that one.
Trying to be eloquent. It's your choice, because you're very passionate about this, and we need to be united as a board of how we're going to go.
I don't know that passionate is the proper term. I just don't like beating the same topic over and over in a painful manner
right.
in public. Trying to understand where you're at here again.
Mm-hmm.
Your motion does not include saying we're making the switch, or does it?
That is true, because I know that I know that I don't have all the information, and I want those two to come back on the 13th and fill me in all the details, but I'm making the motion declaring that this is my goal as a commissioner, as a board, that we're moving this. The onerous of the paychecks and the creation and the monitoring of each 2-week period to HR. That's the onerous of the change that we're looking at, and I am saying in my motion that that's the goal. I'm being transparent. That's the goal. I'm wanting the details to be sure that we're just not doing something. And I don't think we are, but I want both of the separate entities to look at it and review it on the 13th. We still make the decision on the 13th of where it goes on the first payroll in October.
Chairman, I'm going to submit that we withdraw the motions that are on the floor, and I'm going to make a different motion to see if we can get support for it.
You can
I'll
only
withdraw
your own.
I'll withdraw my motion.
So have discussion. What would you discuss about my motion?
It seems that there's overlapping talking points where it's not clear. I want clarity. I'm asking for clarity. We're saying the same thing, but you're not committing. My motion is to provide direction to transfer the oversight of payroll to HR and to have the auditing, the clerk's office, come back with HR on the 13th and provide a procedural outline for board review with the intent and an action item to have that be effective October 1st.
That's pretty much exactly what I'm saying. You just worded it a little bit differently.
Well, I will second that then.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So my motion dies from lack of second, and Commissioner Van Beek's motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Yes?
Mr. Chair, out of respect for the clerk, I would like to take that meeting that they did request of me. That way I can inform the board of any new information. They did request it. I would like to fulfill that, if that's okay.
Yeah, because communication through this point is going to be critical. Okay.
And they can partake in that meeting, but we can work out those details.
Correct.
On this side.
Yes. Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to negotiate.
All right. Is there anything else on this topic, Carl?
I'm looking at the agenda, saying that you have a meeting 6 minutes ago.
Yes.
At the title company.
Yes. Yes. We get to go spend large sums of cash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Which have already been spent.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to adjourn. We, for the record, we will reconvene as individuals down at Pioneer Title for our signatures.
Okay.
Thank you.